Welcome to the City Council Successor Agency and Housing Authority Joint Regular Meeting for Stanton City Hall dated Tuesday, May 10th, 2022. Madam Clerk?
I will conduct the roll call. Council Agency Authority Member Taylor?
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Van?
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Warren?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chairman Rares?
Here.
And Mayor Chairman Shaver is currently absent.
Great. At this time, we will go ahead and recess into closed session.
I'd like to state for the record, there are no public comments on closed session items. Thank you.
Okay, I'll call to order our regular City Council meeting of May 10th. We just came out of the closed session. Is there a thing to report?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. There's nothing to report.
Thank you. Okay, Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Council Agency Authority Member Taylor?
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Van?
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Warren?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chairman Ramirez?
Here.
Mayor Chairman Shaver?
Here. If you'll all please rise for the flag. Mr. Ames, you're up.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we're on item number 8, special presentations and awards. This will be a presentation of a certificate of recognition honoring the Orange County Sheriff's Department Deputy Eric Peavy. Chief, you're up.
Evening, Mayor and Council members. If I could give you a little bit of background as to why we're honoring Deputy Peavy. The Orange County Auto Theft Task Force is a multi-jurisdictional law enforcement program. Their primary mission is to reduce incidents of vehicle thefts while increasing the apprehension of professional vehicle thieves. The task force is a coordination through the Orange County District Attorney's Office and is comprised by law enforcement personnel from the CHP, Sheriff's Department Anaheim, La Habra, Brea, Seal Beach, the DMV's office, the DA's office, and the Insurance Crime Bureau. Many of these vehicle thefts have occurred throughout fraudulent means, sophisticated mechanical means, and at times violent means. Many of these serious crime cases involved home invasion robberies, shootings, robberies, assaults, and the suspects many times have used these stolen vehicles in the commission of their crimes. At the end of every year, the Auto Theft Task Force recognizes a law enforcement official with the top stolen vehicle recovery countywide. On April 20, 2022, Deputy Eric Peavy received the second place winner for the most auto theft recovered throughout the county. If we put this in perspective as to what this means, the first place winner was a Santa Ana police officer. He operates within a 24 square mile city. Deputy Peavy operates in a 3 square mile radius, and he got the second place award countywide. It's not something that we could quantify, but it's safe to say that Eric Peavy was able to arrest many criminals and potentially save innocent Stanton residents from being further victimized based on his actions. Please help me recognize Eric Peavy in receiving the Auto Theft Task Force Officer of the Year for 2021.
Before we continue on, we do have a couple of guests, I believe. They're also here, so why don't we go ahead and take them in order. We'll start with Assemblywoman Quirk Silva's office, please.
Honorable Mayor and Council, it's my pleasure to be here on behalf of Assemblywoman Sharon Quirk Silva. The Assemblywoman is very proud to hear of all the achievements that Officer It really is about all these task forces that the county and the sheriff's department puts together that helps bring justice and safety into our communities. On behalf of the 65th Assembly District, Assemblywoman Sharon Quirk Silva, congratulations.
Liliana, you can get your picture taken right now if you'd like. Come on up. Yeah. Yeah. Officer.
Speak first.
Okay. Oh, we can just get them all together? Okay, go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone, or good evening. My name is Scott Doe. I'm here on behalf of Senator Josh Newman and his office. On behalf of California State Senate, I would like to congratulate Deputy Eric for his honorable and invaluable service to the city and its residents. So with that, I present you a certificate of record.
Okay, we can have a Kodak moment with you two. You guys come on up. Officer, please come up. There we go.
They didn't have any money.
Mayor and Council, I could take this time to also introduce someone to you. In recognition of your forward vision, you guys allowed me to increase my staff by allowing me to bring a crime prevention specialist using ARPA funds. So I'd like to present to you our crime prevention specialist. On October 5th, you guys approved it, and October 5th we started the hunt for the right fit, someone that we could come in and take care of the needs of the community that we have in the city. After an extensive recruitment process, on February 25th, we welcome Sarah Shirvani to our city. She comes with a wealth of knowledge, wealth of experience, and complements our staff in the city well. I'll let her explain and give you her experience, but like I said, we're very fortunate to have her, and we're excited to the work that she's already done and the work that she'll be doing. So, further ado, Sarah Shirvani.
Good evening, everybody. I know most of you already have the pleasure of meeting you through various meetings. Just a little bit about me. My name is Sarah Shirvani. This August is my 31 years of service in law enforcement. I first started with my background with the Sheriff's Department as a dispatcher when I was 18. From there, I went, got my degree in forensics and crime scene investigation for the city of Chester. After that, I became a civilian investigator for the city of Chester. And from there, I put myself in the academy, got hired for the city of Sunshine. After the Sunshine, I was fortunate to lateral to the city of Anaheim, where I retired a few years ago. I came back to the sheriff's department as a civilian. And then I was fortunate. I kind of went back to where my heart belonged, working with the community and public with crime prevention. My goal here with the city of Scanton, I'm very blessed, very needed in Scanton to have crime prevention. The goal of crime prevention is to deter crime. We wish we could get rid of crime, but that's not the reality. But we use the tools we have to hopefully educate our community and create a relationship with us. So they will trust us to call and let us help them in their neighborhoods. So what I'm kind of in charge of right now is I facilitate neighborhood watch meetings with different communities. I've called a few already with communities who have reached out to me with concerns in their neighborhood. So we just try to educate them on how to call us, identifying suspicious activity and some of the crime trends that are occurring in their specific neighborhoods. I also do business watch meetings. I've been recently meeting with the business owners in the city of Scanton who have some issues. So recently, just to give an example, the Starbucks, Del Taco, and the Walmart and shopping center, I have built a really great relationship with the owner of the property, and we've met several times to come up with some ideas to help alleviate some of the issues there. We recently met with all the business owners and met with them, and I thought it was a really positive outcome. I also identified crime trends, so the deputies, I monitor all the calls that go out, so if there's a specific crime trend. Recently, on our social media, I had posted we had water flow tests this year. If you don't know what that is, it's commercial grade water pipes in front of residential businesses and like apartment complexes, and they cut the pipes for the copper. The problem with those tests is it creates a lot of I've been working with our investigations and through a specific team who I've reached out to. And luckily, they want to reach out to the possible video surveillance at a possible suspect. And that again just goes to building the relationships with the community members to reach out to you with that information. I also run the social media for the police department, so I put out a lot of information all the time about crime prevention for the community. It just kind of gets fancy and out there that we're here for the community. I'm here to help with whatever needs that I can do for the city. It's great for us to be here. Thank you for believing in the crime prevention commission and that you need to take me to this job. I'm very grateful.
You got to come get your Stanton pin. Yeah.
Ready for questions.
Who's got the pin?
I got a pin.
Okay, go ahead, Alice. That's your job. No, welcome to our town. We're very happy to have you here. You're going to be an integral part of our overall program, and it's full speed ahead, so thank you. This will now be a presentation by the Orange County Housing Finance Trust, sharing their mission with the City Council and providing information on their current operations.
Honorable Mayor and members of the council.
Good morning.
My name is Adam Elison, and I'm happy to be here. I'm the manager of the Orange County Housing Finance Trust. Tonight, my goal is to give you a report on how we're doing on the trust. Stanton joined the trust as a member a few years ago, and I felt it was my duty to get back in front of you, tell you how we're doing, so that you know some information about our goals and accomplishments. Let me first just address the question is, what is a housing trust? A housing trust provides a portion of the funds needed to finance the preservation and production of affordable housing. Housing trusts can be formed by a combination of states, cities, counties, in a joint powers authority situation, which is to say they have a collective mission and vision for their goal. Trust funds come from a variety of government sources and sometimes private sources as well. Prior to the trust formation, University of California, Irvine did a study on the cost of homelessness. The details of that study are certainly worth looking into in detail, but in summary, it concluded that the cost to ignore the challenges of homelessness in a region is more expensive than addressing the issue and providing services and housing. That study provided a very strong basis for elected officials to consider joining the trust. In 2018, County of Orange performed a study to examine the various funding sources available and established a goal of creating 2,700 new permanent supportive housing units by the year 2025. In 2019, AB 448 was passed unanimously and created the Orange County Housing Finance Trust, joint powers authority comprised of County of Orange and the majority of cities in the county. The purpose of the trust is to help finance and facilitate the construction of affordable housing throughout Orange County. The trust adopted the same goal and determined by the funding strategy to contribute towards that construction of 2,700 new units. Let's talk about the difference between affordable housing and supportive housing. The trust mission and vision includes actually both. Supportive housing is always affordable housing, and it includes the wraparound services available to those experiencing homelessness. Supportive housing is intended for individuals and families that need more support than is found in a typical affordable apartment and are generally targeted towards the lower income levels. Since its founding 3 years ago, the trust has gained the support and membership of 23 of the county's 34 cities, with a goal of having the remaining cities join on within the next year. That represents 80% of the population of Orange County. We've adopted a 5-year strategic plan document that's our blueprint to help us achieve our goals. To date, the trust has secured $36 million in funding and awarded over $20 million in funding, made funding commitments to 13 projects throughout the county, totaling over 900 new affordable and permanent supportive housing units. In addition to the $20 million already awarded, the trust is currently working on our third notice of funding availability for an additional $10 million with funding commitments for additional projects expected at our board meeting this month. The trust is currently working with our state legislators and federal legislators on additional funding from the state and federal government. We appreciate the support of our local legislators that are present here tonight. I'm happy to say that this past month, worked with every legislator in Orange County, both on the Assembly and Senate side, received unanimous approval for a funding request to the state that is currently going through the governor's office for consideration. Our goal is hopefully to get $30 million new dollars coming into Orange County. We're also working with Congress members on a federal funding ask, and that is going through the process right now for an additional $3 million. So if you know any of your elected officials, continue to offer your support for bringing those new tax dollars back into the county. That'd be great. One of our more useful tools that we've added to our website is this tracking tool that we feel keeps kind of a transparency on how we're doing at reaching our goals. The map is interactive. You can touch any of the push pins on that map. You can zoom in and get more specifics. When you touch one of the push pins, it gives you all sorts of project information and status of the project, how many units. The table on the left shows the breakdown of the units And in summary, if you can't see that, we're about 40% of the way towards our goal, and we have just about 3 years left to be able to achieve remaining units. It takes a while to get affordable housing projects going because just a lot of work and a lot of funding needs to be collected. So we've really made the initial efforts took a while, but now we have it's over 500 projects that are on 500 units that are under construction at the current time. Trust funding is divided into two categories, administrative and capital funding. Our administrative funding comes from a mix of County of Orange general funds, local housing trust fund program, which is the state of California. We also receive grant funding from the Orange County Council of Governments and SCAG through the REAP program, and city member contributions through our JPA. Last year, the first three categories were sufficient that all of our member cities did not have to contribute any funding to help with the administration of the trust. Or are we expecting this budget year, which will be approved this month, to be having any requirement that the city contribute towards the administrative funding because of our efforts to get additional grant funding to help us? Capital funding, which goes towards financing and building these projects, comes from also a variety of sources. County of Orange General Fund, Mental Health Services Act funding, Local Housing Trust Fund, and state and federal funding grants that comes to the trust. Often get the question, why does the city want to join, be a part of this effort? Trust provides gap funding for the development of both affordable and supportive housing for a population that largely is already here in your community. Trust helps to finance the development that contributes towards your RENA numbers. There's a lot of discussion going on about that. City membership supports the trust efforts to bring new state and federal dollars into the county, whether your city does affordable housing or not. Trust is a regional collaborative group that works with other entities involved in affordable and supportive housing in the entire region. The trust implements the deployment of these funds and compliance requirements such that it takes a little bit off of the city staff that same responsibility. I hope my presentation tonight has highlighted the need for regional collaboration, not just a financing entity, but to join with some of the other key stakeholders in affordable housing and the homeless effort throughout the county. We have a lot of good regional collaborative groups that we're working with, and it's been a delight working with them and seeing so much progress be addressed towards this issue. I've heard of astronauts who go to space and look back on Earth and comment that from space, there's no jurisdictional boundaries or city limits, just humanity all living together. Equally, the crisis for our affordable housing and supportive housing has no boundaries. If we explore this issue regionally, collaboratively, and fairly, we begin to see the benefits of working together on a common goal. Thank you, and if you have any questions, I am happy to address those with you.
Clay, you're...
What cities do you currently have projects going in?
Well, let's see. I can't remember all of them, but Anaheim...
500 units, right? Yeah, you said you had approximately 500 units?
Yeah. Anaheim, Santa Ana, Lake Forest... I believe we have Buena Park has started a project, but I'm not ready for that. But on our website, that screen that you saw, just below that are two tables that show every project of the 13 projects and what city they're located in, how much funding we contributed, how many units, who the developer is, when does it start construction. Right there on the website.
Thank you.
I am checking out your website, and I noticed on the map you have pins on the places where personal housing is constructed. Yeah. I noticed you have two pins for Stanton, one for the hotel and one for the Stanton Suites.
Yep.
However, I'm not aware that you contributed to the projects, so elaborate on how we might be able to secure funding from the organization. I don't know if you're aware, but we also have Riviera coming up, as well as the Tina Pacific Affordable Housing Development. So how does a city like us go about obtaining funding?
So I believe, I'm not positive, but those three projects are, first of all, I'm aware of them. They're with Jamboree, and my colleagues at the county work closely with Jamboree. Those Project Home Keys funding, I believe, provided sufficient funding that they didn't need to come to the trust. The economics worked out, and they took advantage of the maximum amount of money from the state of California. So fortunately for us, it just wasn't needed. We actually have funding that's available, but it just didn't need to happen on those projects. So,
our project coming up, I believe, could still use funding. I don't know if the city manager wants to be specific, and how do we go about that ask?
Yeah, and great. Thank you for answering the question. A lot of developers on the list. You mentioned Jamboree, CNC, National Core. Are very familiar with the trust. So as they put together their pro forma, if there's a need and they need to go to the trust for to ask for that gap funding, they know it's available to them. And it's something that we've discussed in many of our meetings. So as we work through the process, we are aware they have funding available, and we will go after it if we can.
And just to add to what Jared's saying, so far what we've done is once a year we have a notice of funding that gets announced. It's always in January. We go through an application process. Somewhere in April, we review all the applications, and then we make a recommendation to our board in May. When we go through that process, we reach out to all of our developers. We also have a subscription on our website for anybody to, if you're interested, you can subscribe, and we send that out to everybody. So it's a very open, easy process to apply for funding. All of the major affordable housing developers we talk to on a regular basis, and Jared said they're super aware of what we're doing. We're reaching out actually to other developers who are interested in coming into Orange County, because I believe that the County of Orange, the Trust, and other for other reasons, we've got a great place to fund projects and be friendly to the development communities. So it really works out well.
Anyway, thank you very much for that, and we will be coming for you.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
We know where you are.
It's one of those rare times where I'm glad to give away money to help towards this effort.
So. Well, we don't want all of it, just a small portion.
Happy to help. Thank you.
We're not greedy.
Thank you.
All right, well, let's move on to item 9, which is a consent calendar. We can take all items, which would be 9A through M. Is there any request to pull from the public?
Mr. Mayor, we have none.
Any from the council?
I'll move it then.
Second.
Roll call.
We have a motion by Councilmember Taylor, a second by Councilmember Vann. We'll now proceed with the roll call vote. Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Warren?
Yes.
Councilmember Vann?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Ramirez?
Yes.
And Mayor Schauer?
Yes. Okay, we're now at public hearings, of which we have none. So we'll now move on to unfinished business, item 11A. The City of Stanton's American Rescue Plan Act allocation of funds review and update.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the City Council. This is our third update of our ARPA, so we are still in year one, quarter three. And just to give you a little bit of perspective, this is an update, but also a review. So back in July of 2021, the City of Stanton was notified that we would be receiving $123,660. And at the time, the interim final rule for those funds were released. Largely, the use of those funds under the interim final rule was that it was to be used for COVID-19 response and lining up back to our strategic plan. So in July of 2021, we presented to the City Council these initially approved projects. So these are the projects that aligned with the COVID-19 response as well as our strategic plans. In the second update, or the first update actually, in October of 2021, we were building capacity for Stanton ARPA projects, and so largely, like the deputy or the crime prevention specialist, we hired an office specialist for the sheriffs. We also reallocated our homeless outreach coordinators to these funds. We also hired a planning manager and a departmental assistant for economic revitalization. We also hired a management analyst to oversee these funds and also a senior accounting technician for finance. So we are in our currently budgeted projects. From the July 2021 spending allocation plans, these are the projects that have been funded and are ongoing. The only one, the BOLD online resource integrated system, we are still determining the final budget, but largely it is, we are at 9.5 million, a little over 9.5 million. And our ARPA allocation is 9.1. So tonight we are asking that the City Council consider the contribution to the Riviera Motel, the recategorizing the 2.5 to from ARPA to Housing Authority funds. Since this currently budgeted project came out, the final rule came, and because we received 9.1 million, under the final rule, we could use the 9.1, all of it, as a standard allowance. So consider these funds as general funds. These are the remaining wish list projects that have been not budgeted, and you could see that the total of it is 2.5. So there's a lot of numbers tonight in terms of funding. And I'm going to give you a moment to look at what has not been funded. So again, ARPA allocation 9.1, current budget is at 9.5 and plus. Our deficit is a little under 400,000. We ask you to consider the recategorization of the 2.5 for the Riviera contribution. That would give us a nice number of a little over 2.1 million. We have to consider the land management software system that's still to be determined, and the ARPA wish list project, which is over 2.5. We would have a remaining of a deficit of a little over 400,000. Questions?
Okay, well, let's start with Gary. Did you have any questions on the funding?
I don't think I do. Good presentation.
Carol?
I think we need to revisit the wish list funds that we did earlier. It kind of like, we got all this money, we're like, well, we kind of want this, or we kind of want that. I think we need to go back and go, okay, what do we really, really need? So I'd love to do that at some point in time. And I'm okay about moving the fund. And go from there.
I feel like I just heard this presentation a few hours ago. and we gave you a lot of feedback during that meeting about this. So again, I wanted to emphasize incorporating the needs of the community, because we did have that community assessment. The two things that stood out to me were the desire, I think like 40% of the population wants sports, and also allocate the funds to some of those areas that were communicated to us by the And I agree with Ms. Warren that we do need to get those funds from Housing Authority so that we can free up and protect.
Any estimate on what the land management will cost? Six figures, five figures?
I defer to Community and Economic Development Director Jennifer Lowe.
So
We have estimates at this point for the consultant that begins the search, but not for the ongoing costs of the actual software. So it's about $25,000 to do the search, and estimates of what we're seeing out in the market are anything from $60,000 to $600,000. So Cadillac down to...
Is that for a three-year period? Is that
annually.
I was wondering, Sue, if you could, I missed the little, so what I was going to ask you, do you have a sort of an overview of the timelines for going forward in the future, due dates, drop-dead dates, you know, when we have to make this decision? I'm supporting a review so we can get to the finite, but I'd also like to know what the timeline is. So I don't know if we have a new one or not, but I'd like to see it.
No, thank you for that question. And that reminded me when Council Member or Mayor Pro Tem Ramirez asked about timeline. These funds have to be encumbered by December 31st, 2024. And then we have an additional two calendar years, December 31st, 2026, to fully expend. So there is a time frame, a window of opportunity to spend these funds. Though I did say that these are standard allowance and it is considered like general funds, however, there is a shelf life, if you will, of these funds.
That being said, at this point, we have the $9.5 million, I believe. Is that correct?
So the $9.5 million is what is currently budgeted, and we are over $379,000. However, if the council makes a decision to recategorize the ARPA funds to the Housing Authority for the Riviera, that would give us an anticipated remaining budget of ARPA budget of a little over $2 million.
Okay, well, going back to my first question, so how much of the 9.5 has actually been spent?
Oh, we have our finance director.
Thank you for that question, Mr. Mayor. So if we go back a couple slides to where we talk about what's already kind of committed, what makes up the current budget of 9.5, that is all of the things based on council approval. You'll see the contribution for Riviera Motel acquisition is highlighted in yellow. You'll see above that $2.8 million for the purchase of Bowman's Market. That was something the council approved around January to use with ARPA funds. And all of these other items on this sheet have either already been spent, we've already cut the check since March of a year ago when the ARPA funding was effective, and or we've committed them based on a series of decisions such as hiring various limited term staff that the council approved, funding the four homeless outreach coordinators instead of some of them from the Housing Authority, council choosing to fund them all from ARPA, funding the crime prevention specialist and the sheriff's department's office specialist with ARPA. So if we kept all of these people and all of these commitments that we've already entered into as of today, funded with ARPA through December 31, 2024, this is the cost, either those vendor costs or those personnel costs with some, you know, finance adjustments, not knowing the future of what council will adopt in future budget years of what these fiscal years cover. This is our estimated cost. Now, there are some variables of purchase of Bowman's property. Is it going to go through? Is it not? We don't know. The contribution for Riviera Motel, if you make that action tonight, then that reduces the $9.5 million of ARPA commitment down by $2.5 million, and then we move forward to the wish list item. So does that answer your question about what's budgeted versus committed?
No.
But, okay, I'm sorry.
But what I'm wondering is we could get a spreadsheet that shows what we committed, what we cut checks for, where we are midstream, because the council wants to discuss maybe some changes, but I'd like to see what is in that pool that's available for those changes. And then I'd also like to see what further commitments we can make, and then I'll go back how we'll end up with the figure that you're showing up there.
We have a very detailed spreadsheet
that breaks out this $9.5 million between what was spent in fiscal year 2021, what is budgeted in fiscal year 21-22 based on all of the decisions that were made, and then for the limited term staffing and the vendor commitments, what we've projected through December 31st, 2024, that ends up in this $9.5 million total. And finance prepared that for the executive team, and Sue can provide that to you after this meeting if that's what you're looking
for. Yeah, I'd like to have that. Also, the thing is that I think it would behoove us, if we do make some changes, that we have the ability to take a look at that as we do that, so we can see what we may want to supplant or change or move around.
Sure. So around those lines, this page here, we have one decision to make, highlighted in yellow. Do we leave it here? That's our decision. On the next page, that's where we get to play around to figure out, okay, what do we want to cut? What do we want to run with?
Because we haven't spent that yet.
Well mm-hmm. said.
Okay, that's what I want. Okay, perfect.
Yep.
Okay, thank you, Sue.
Thank you.
Sue, in the earlier 221, I'd mentioned a possible assessment point system to each of the asks, just so we can kind of get an idea of what benefits the community and what would make us more efficient. That way it will help us decide which ones we want to go with or which ones we don't.
And maybe you could add to that the amount, the number of people, or the number, you know, the population that
the impact.
Yeah,
yes.
The demographics. I think yes. That's important too.
And okay. We will also tie it to the investment.
Okay, good.
So okay. Tonight, with that, right, we'd be looking for a recommended action, as stated in the staff report. Declared the item not subject to CEQA, receive a filed presentation, and then approve the appropriation to reallocate the $2.5 million from Home Key to, the $2.5 million funding commitment for the Riviera Motel from ARPA to the Housing Authority. And then staff will prepare, kind of plan for a study session to go over the wish list items in the future.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, is there a motion?
I'll move it.
That would be items 1-4. Second?
Second.
Okay. Go ahead, Madam Clerk.
We have a motion by Councilmember Vann, a second by Councilmember Taylor. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, Mr. Mayor, the item does pass as is.
Thank you. New business, item 12A. This is interim city manager employment agreement. Tonight for consideration is the interim city manager employment agreement between the city and Zinnia Bodia. For the position of interim city manager. Go ahead, I think that's you, HD.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This item is before you. It's a consideration of the interim city manager employment agreement. It's an amendment to Ms. Bobadilla's services director agreement. As you know, our city manager is and the interim city manager. The amendment is brief in that it provides a base salary to $15,481 per month, and it will expire upon either the appointment of the new city manager or as the city council sees fit to provide that the Ms. Bobadilla goes back to the community services director position, which she is authorized to do at the conclusion of that amendment. There's no other changes to the benefits. It's changed the base salary. With that, I am happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Okay, I'll go ahead and make the motion.
Second.
Madam Clerk, please call roll.
A motion by Mayor Shaver, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Ramirez. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the item passes.
No more basketball games on the weekend for you.
Come on, work-life balance. Come on.
It's not that bad.
Just get Jared's baseball schedule. You'll be okay.
That's right. Playoffs end this week, so we won by forfeit last night. I think that's a default.
Okay, we're at item 13, oral communications. At this time, the members of the public may address the city council. the agency, the housing authority regarding anything within our subject matter jurisdiction, provided that no action may be taken. Was there any written?
Mr. Mayor, no blue cards request to speak have been submitted this evening.
And nothing correspondence, right?
No written communication as well.
Okay, I'm going to open. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the City Council? Okay, close that. All right, we'll move to item 14, written communication. We have none. This is Mayor, Council, Agency, Authority Initiated Business. Okay, this is committee reports, council announcements. Go ahead, Gary.
The Orange County Mosquito and Vector Control District is opening a new display on June 15th at the Orange County Discovery Center. And it's pretty neat. If you've ever had children, you've taken them there, it's quite an experience. CR&R has a big one, Waste Management has a big one, and this is going to be pretty neat where the kids get to play like an inspector and find where the mosquitoes are hiding. And they get a laptop and they walk around, but it's going to be pretty exciting. So just if you go there after June 15th, it should be operating.
If you want to mark your calendars for May 21st, from 9 o'clock till 1, we'll have a Stanton City food drive again out in our park. It'll be the monthly one that we've been having every month. It's been very successful, so they asked us back. Okay, at this time, 15B, these are items for a future meeting. Okay, I'd like to maybe get a discussion of the council on the methadone clinics that we have in the city. I'd like to find out about the process. I'd like to find out about who manages them. I'd like to find out what the guidelines are from the county or the state or the feds. I'd like to find out what they've been doing in our city with the our city code enforcement, also taking a look at what goes on with the inspections there. It has been brought to my attention, just observation, that unfortunately the methadone clinics of the past are totally different than the methadone clinics of today. Today, they're basically used by some people, not all of them, but by some people, for a waste station while they're waiting to get their next government check so they can buy their hard drugs and continue on. Because without their drugs or substitute, they find it very difficult to live. And we have one that's located in our city that's caused a great deal of grief from the business owners. I've been getting a lot of complaints. There's a grip of needles out there. It's a mess. And so I just want to find out who's watching over it. And I think it would be good for us to take a look at that because it does impact our community. Anyway, thank you. Okay, 15C, future study session. Okay, we have none. Okay, council-initiated item discussion regarding the city's alternate resources to assist in enforcing any camping laws within the city. Councilmember Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Somehow I've taken a great interest in our homeless situation. I think I was kind of not in an area where I saw it a lot. I didn't go down Beach Boulevard enough, and it really has kind of expanded a lot since the last time I used to go down Beach Boulevard, which was probably 6 or 8 months or a year ago. I've talked to everyone on the City Council. I talked to Jared, Mr. Wren, Police Chief Alday, Officer Hicks, who was very informative, and some other officers. I've tried to put together some ideas, and that's all these are our ideas, kind of a place where we can start to talk about maybe putting more emphasis on trying to solve this problem in a humane way, treating everybody with respect and dignity, but moving toward a goal of helping the people that need to be helped, and the other people possibly enforcing the law, if that's what it takes to kind of clean up the streets a little bit. So I'm gonna, last time I was thinking about this, I was looking at Michelle, and I was trying to think what city staff could do. I think I remembered saying something about accounting. How can accounting and finance help us in this? And these are just some of the ideas I came up with. And I'll start with city staff, and I'll work back to the homeless outreach coordinators and a few ideas like that. But what I was thinking, we've got a pretty good non-emergency number at the sheriff's station now. I guess it's always been there, I just wasn't aware of it. But it's something that we can use to report incidences in the city of people that look suspicious, people that are trespassing, anything that looks like it's not kind of a life and death situation. And I thought in on top of this too, our city workers coming to work, going home, going out to lunch and stuff, I was gonna kind of title this, See It, Report It. And maybe put on a business card that we could hand out to all city employees, and maybe the public at large too, with two telephone numbers on it. One would be the non-emergency number at the sheriff's station, and the other one would be the graffiti hotline. As you see graffiti in the city, simply call and report it. I've been doing that in my part of the city, and they're pretty good. They come out pretty quickly and get it done, and they do a pretty nice job. Some areas it doesn't seem to get called on enough. Maybe Tina Pacific might be a good example of that. The east side of the city, around Magnolia and over in that area, I saw an awful lot of graffiti when I did a ride along with Deputy Hicks. So just an idea on that. Could be things like just driving down the street and seeing people with tents or just sitting out on the railroad right-of-ways and the railroad tracks. That is trespassing. A lot of them have already been told. We have issued some citations to people on that too. So things like that, suspicious people, I guess that's it on that one. I was also looking at maybe what maintenance in the city yard and even our city engineer might be able to help us with a little bit. If you've gone by Stanton Park, they've got two of the structures, the eating structures, completely fenced off. That wasn't done just to beautify it. That was done for a reason. People were sitting out there doing things that they shouldn't be doing in that area. What I've noticed for the last 6 or 8 weeks is the first three parking spots in Stanton Park, nearest Beach Boulevard, they seem to have kind of the same cars there a lot. The mayor's, the car the mayor pointed out, I was gonna say the mayor's drug mobile, but the mayor's, the car the mayor pointed out to me that was selling drugs that we've since got off the street, loved to park there. But there are other cars parking there, and it doesn't look like they're doing good things for the city. In other words, they look very suspicious, like illegal things could be happening. And maybe we could put up either a barrier, close those parking spaces off. There's a tree there, and what they do, they like to park there because it's cool in the tree. They can get out, do whatever they're doing under the tree with the, what looks like drugs to me, but something where we could just take that away. And that would be kind of what we would be looking at this, making it a little bit harder for people to hide in plain sight and do things that are illegal in the city. Okay, homeless outreach coordinators. I talked to Mr. Wren a little bit about this today, but so far I think they've done an outstanding job. I like the premise we've got. I like what they're doing. What I'd like to change maybe a little bit, a couple of areas. One would be their script, how they actually talk to the homeless. Approach is fine. They're nice to them. We should treat everybody with dignity and respect. But we have to make sure that we're also coming across saying that, you know, everything isn't just rosy if you accept a shelter, because most of them aren't accepting it that we've got left right now. The people that are out there right now, the majority are not accepting our help. So what I'd like them to kind of follow up on what the what our officers, our sheriff's department is doing, is just letting them know that there are consequences to not accepting it. It could be a citation. It could be actually getting arrested for being doing what they're doing on our streets. It's basically an anti-camping type of the ordinance that we have, and we will enforce it. So I kind of would like them to, and again, we can talk about this. None of this is set in stone, but just some ideas to start the conversation going. Let's see. And also, they can talk to them about trespassing laws. A lot of them, when they do run into them, they are on the railroad tracks or the right-of-ways, and they really don't have any right to be on those areas. Oh, and the shelters. When I was out with them the couple times, we were really nice to them, and we were offering them shelter help. We were asking them what they, if they were refusing it. Like one guy named Joseph and his girlfriend, I think he goes by Legion also, was asking they would take a shelter if they could do it as a couple. You know, that's nice if it's available, but we don't really want to give the homeless people that we've offered opportunities for help already to pick and choose which shelter we're going to offer them. They either accept the help or they don't, and I think we need the outreach coordinators to make sure that's plain to them too. We're offering you help. We're offering you a chance to get off the street. The navigation shelter is great. I had a tour of that last week, the one in Buena Park, and Councilmember Van went to the one in Placentia. And they do good work, and they've got a lot of people with jobs. People are moving out of there into, what is it, assisted housing, where they're getting into a bigger place, their own place, rather than in these shelters. These shelters aren't really great, but they're a good first step to get off of the situation that they're in. So I think it's quite a deal. They're not being charged anything, and we are helping them. One of my pet peeves, shopping carts. I love what we do as far as getting out there and doing the cart roundups. I just think we need to again, use all the eyes that we've got and be able to call the city yard, have somebody pick them up, have the outreach coordinators also tell them if they have a cart that they're not allowed to have that cart, that that's a violation of our city laws. So just so we're all kind of on the same page and that we're working toward helping people, but if they won't help, then they need to make a decision to either move on or they're going to be ticketed and possibly go to jail. Yeah, I think that's everything I've got. But like I said, it's just to get a conversation started. Questions?
Okay, I'll jump in. I'm in complete agreement with you, Gary. I think the next item we have is going to help. Carol's going to bring it up on the business safety district and a few other things. The plan that I have been thinking about, and I'd like to get support on if we want to give it a trial, really isn't going to cost a great deal of money, and I don't think we have to keep it for a long period of time. But I think it would make a big impact on our city to help clean it up. I would expect participation from the land, the business owners in the community, especially those that own the large centers. But also, I think it's our job to sort of spearhead it and help develop the program to take care of our public property. What I'd like to see is what some other cities have done, and that is to get private security to help assist in the community, both on private property and also on city property. I don't want to spend a great deal of money, but I think a small amount of money could go a long ways in getting the program off the ground. If we were to hire a couple of officers, call them whatever you want, patrol, security, that are highly trained, that have been working in other cities, that have had an opportunity to see our city and they know it well, I think it would be a good way to get started. Some of the things that these individuals could do is, number one, they could make sure that any of our city ordinances that our legal department would approve of, as an example, transiency in the parks after hours or at night, shopping carts, trash and debris littering, graffiti, some of the things that have really impacted our code enforcement and have impacted our public works department to where they're really not effective in doing their regular jobs. First it was COVID, and now it's the transiency problem in the city that's taken them away from the things that they need to do. I think if we invest a little bit of time and a little bit of money into this project, it will take care of itself in a very short period of time. And again, not at a great deal of cost. I like the idea of calling together all of the business owners. After Councilwoman Warren brought it up, I've reached out to at least 15 of the large landowners. All of them are very much interested in collaborating their efforts. Some of them are paying between $6,000 to $10,000 a month for security, but it's ineffective because they get somebody that just walks around the property and is non-responsive and really is not managed very well. I think if we did a cooperative effort with that type of resource and a leadership by the city with a program, we would be able to pretty much take care of a lot of these problems that have impacted our department. I know one city, Laguna Beach, as an example, has their own police department. But yet because of the high priority calls, they're not able to address a lot of the transiency problems in their parks, on their beaches, and so they did hire private security, and they were very successful at keeping that under control. I think that if we get to a point of where we have less of that level of crime, it will then constitute it becoming a high level of crime, because those individuals are people that are on the streets now. A lot of them are there because of many different reasons, but some of them are there because they're either felons out of jail, or they also could be individuals that that do not want to follow the law. And that impacts our sheriff's department. So I think it's going to be sort of a team cooperative effort if we do that. I would be very much entertaining, and if we could, is to go out and have our city manager look at, he has a certain cap to where we don't have to put it out to bid, you know, where we don't have to spend a lot of money. I'd like to have a dedicated number that would come in that we could get immediate response to it for our business community. We could run that through our outreach coordinator from the Sheriff's Department. That isn't our crime prevention specialist. We could also have a number here at City Hall, or we could set it up some way in which when we get a call for something that's a low priority, we get some kind of response in the city. Because that has been a major, major, major complaint, is the inability of our own sheriff's department, because they have the high priority calls that really take up most of their time. And I think if we coordinate with the sheriff's department on taking some of the less prioritized calls, such as public nudity, transiency, graffiti, trash and debris, shopping carts, illegal vendors on the streets, you know, all these things that can be handled. And maybe if the legal department will allow us, maybe even trap parking. You know, we really not have the ability with all these other things going on with code enforcement to do, I think, a really good job with parking. You know, we do it in spurts, but we don't do it on a regular basis. But I think we have to end up balancing what we can do. We have to look at what our finances are. But it's costing us a great deal of money to try to just let things go the way they are now. Money that could keep accumulating in cost. But if we spend a little bit of money now, then in the future, it won't be as costly for us, because I think it will be very effective. So that's kind of the program that I like to incorporate. I also think that the major players in this are going to be our business community that are very anxious to participate in a program that I just discussed in cooperation with the city, so that we could actually get boots on the ground and some immediate response to some of the lesser infractions in our city that need to be addressed. Because if we let it fester, those small infractions continue to grow until they become very impactful, opportunistic in our community to where we have a high crime or more crime. Thank you.
So let's go back to 15D real quick. Gary, are you comfortable with providing direction to staff to have them do a self-assessment to figure out what's working and maybe we amplify that to make it stronger and then maybe identify a particular need that they may have that maybe we could support in the future? That way we focus on what's working and we also focus on what's maybe deficient.
I think we have to focus on what we see out there that isn't being addressed.
Okay.
And come up with some kind of idea on how we can do our best to address it. Probably with the resources we have, or if we get more resources from a private security firm or something, that would change the game a little bit also.
Okay, so what...
But sure, we can have staff come up with some ideas too, and we can talk, have another study session and talk through and see what we would actually like to do.
All right, so what direction do you want to give staff?
If I could chime in.
I could use some
as we're listening to the conversation, took down quite a bit of notes. I like the idea of the self-assessment, right? We'll determine what's working, what isn't working. We can put some ideas, right, together on paper. One that I heard were the parking spots at Stanton Park, right? It is a public-owned property. One thing that we can do there is limited time parking. Maybe limit parking for 1 hour to 2 hours, right? Generally, people aren't at parks any longer than that. This is something that the director of Public Works, city engineer, can put together, right? Parking by resolution. So that's something that we can return to you with. Another item, right? We can certainly look at the script from the homeless outreach coordinators and change that. Something we've been working on internally is sort of that business card approach, right? Half sheet flyer, and this came from the public safety committee. Half sheet flyer with the list of city phone numbers and resources on it, the graffiti hotline, etc. For the public listening tonight, again, shameless plug for our public service request app. Everybody has a cell phone these days. It's designed to connect the residents to staff to report these issues, take a picture of the graffiti, and it ultimately, you know, GPS geo tags the location, goes to Public Works, and they're out there within, you know, 48 hours or so. So let us conduct the self-assessment, come back to you with some ideas, and even fold into the ARPA budget study session, right? Because we didn't free up $2 million tonight, some ideas and you know, policy recommendations for you to consider, and then you can tell us, you know, what's a priority, what you want to cut, and what you want to proceed forward with.
And something, I didn't really mention it, but something to address the city after 6 or 7 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. It changes greatly,
sure. That's
especially on busy streets, Beach,
yeah.
Chapman, Catella. I mean, the city just looks very different at night. There's a lot of things going on that we don't see going on during the day.
Yeah.
So I'd love to have some eyes out there that maybe they could help report issues to our sheriff's department.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So I think there's enough direction. I'm not necessarily certain there needs to be a motion tonight, but we have direction. We'll conduct the assessment and return to you in the future, either by means of a resolution on the agenda for parking hours or even through the ARPA study session.
Yeah. I can send you a copy of my notes.
Yes, I can take it for the file.
You know, and just a couple other things that I've noticed is an example, when we do take and remove the shopping carts off the city streets, we don't have any transient people on the streets. Okay, that's number one. And to me, there's a symbiosis between a shopping cart and who we have there. Number two, I came back into town from the SCAG convention, which I'll be giving a report on at our next meeting. And Sheriff, there was not one homeless or transient person that I could see in the entire city. So thank you for that. I don't know what happened when I went away, but great job. And you know what? It was nice. Yeah, maybe.
I wouldn't quite say anything.
I'm gonna say anything.
Yeah, maybe I bring out the best in people,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Exactly.
But the other thing that's interesting, though, is the fact that I think that if we just hit on a few of these things with a little extra manpower, it'll really help clean things up.
Yes.
I mean, just the fact that we cleaned all the debris and trash up in the city, you know, for a week or two, that's going to make a lot of difference. So the graffiti that we have, or we get rid of all the U-Haul rental trucks and all the vendors that are unlicensed in the city. Just little things like that to help clean up the city. And, you know, people appreciate that. They really do. But, you know, we're doing a lot of things right. We have such a good outreach program that we're having a visitor from another city come in this week to observe how we do it. And, you know, we've worked very hard to develop those programs. And we just want to make sure that they continue on being a success. I would like, though, also maybe in the city manager review, if he does look at the ability for us maybe to bring in some outside resource security-wise in collaboration with the business community.
That's a good transition, Spittini.
Thank you. All right, now you're up, Carol.
Hi. Why I brought this on to the discussion for City Council is we've been through a pandemic, we've been through an awful lot of things in the past couple of years, and we literally haven't been able to go do too much with our businesses in the city. Dave and Rigo do their business visitation, and staff and police and everybody else, they do the business visitation program, which has just started up in the past couple months because of COVID prior to that. So we have a business alliance, and I'd like to reconstitute that group to where the businesses can come and talk with police, with council, with everybody. We can back up what Dave and Rigo do out in the field with further discussion. I think it would be really a good thing for the city right now. We can talk about safety issues. We can talk about a lot of different things. And so even if it was just a quarterly meeting, I think starting up Business Alliance again would be a good platform to do a lot of good for businesses in the city. So if you can look into that, I would appreciate
it. I completely support that, Carol. I think that's long overdue. Of course, we couldn't have them during the pandemic, but
right.
Now's a good time. I think it's also a good chance for us to find out. You know, we know what the needs are because we go out and visit, but I think all five of us need to hear that. I think that's good, and then we can come up with a common solution. But I think one of the other things that's good about it, too, is that we can see what they're willing to do participation-wise and what they are willing to do to work with us. As an example, little simple things like getting the gating up behind the Home Depot Center, the new fencing behind Crystal Restaurant, the different types of things that have been effective, we can share that with all the businesses and get them on board with it. As an example, when Gary and I went around the city, we drove the entire city in less than an hour. And the people we took with us were interested in providing that service of extra security. As we pulled up to each one of the hot spots, they immediately saw who was there and told Gary and I exactly what they were doing wrong, the violations they were doing, and why they were there. So they have a very good common street knowledge. And I think that is going to really go a long way in assisting our business owners on their private property because they know how to handle those types of situations. Where if you just go out and go with some agency and they bring out somebody's working his way through college and they put him on a chair out in front of the store, it's not as effective. So something that we can bring forward. But I think we should get started on your program right away, Carol, and not wait another day. Thank you. Okay, any other questions on those two items? Okay, I think you got that right, Jerry.
Took copious amounts of notes.
Okay.
Sure, Sandy did as well. So.
And then HD, we had asked you a little bit about the feasibility of your company looking at some of the things that we might be able to do enforcing our ordinances. And maybe at, when we bring this back, that you can show some of the things like shopping carts, you know, can we help and assist in transient posted signage throughout the city, especially on our property? Things like trash and debris, graffiti, you know, what things in our ordinance can we assist the Sheriff's Department, either with private people or a program with our business community? All right, we'll now move on to item 16. These are items to the city attorney.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I have no items.
Your last hurrah.
Oh, last hurrah. I'll save it for our luncheon on Thursday. I have nothing to report tonight.
Okay, well, that being said, I'll use 2 minutes of your time. You know, this is Jared's last city council meeting with us. In fact, he's only got a couple of more days. But, you know, Jared came to us about 3 years ago, and the normal length of time for city managers in Orange County is about 3 years. So, you know, we didn't want it to happen, but it happened. And so that's the way the game goes. We're so happy that found some place to go other than our lovely city. And we know that you're going to do a great job there because you did a great job for us. You know, coming in from a smaller town to maybe a little bit bigger town was very challenging. You know, you left us in a great financial position. The developments that we have going on are remarkable. The fact that you had your thumb on just about everything, you kept us going in a straight path, and you kept us out of trouble. And so on behalf of myself, and I know some of the other folks want to talk, I do want to thank you for all the time that you put into making Stanton a better community. It means a lot to me. Thank you.
Real quick, Jared, you've done a great job, I believe, and I think just putting up with the five different personalities you have here, and you're always available to us and everything, so thank you very much.
No, you will be missed. Thank you. I mean, appreciate it again, and likely the comments I'll make on Thursday as well. I mean, you've been very supportive, and I thank you for that. Again, couldn't do it without everybody sitting out there in the audience, though. We have a wonderful team here. Lots to celebrate over 3 years. Good financial position. Tons of development with, you know, Rodeo 39, the Verb, Loud House, Bigsby, and others in the work. You know, $30 million plus coming to the community by way of Room Key and Home Key, and 152 units of permanent supportive housing, which will help. So, I mean, again, the list goes on and on and on. Again, no credit to me, credit to staff and, you know, the rank and file here at City Hall. Without them, nothing would get done.
And his greatest achievement in his 3 years of being here was he won over a baby boomer. So that was good. Okay, we'll move on now to the Orange County Fire Authority.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, Council members, and city staff. It is my pleasure to provide you with the OCFA report for the month of April 2022. I'd like to begin tonight by introducing the new Division 7 Administrative Captain, Michael Yin. Sitting back here in the back of the audience here. Captain Yin began his career with the Orange County Fire Authority in 2005. He's contributed to the OCFA over the past 18 years by being involved with numerous programs, projects, and specialties. Captain Yin has been instrumental in the development of our newest firefighters through being a Fire Explorer Post Advisor for over 11 years, Fire Academy Coordinator for over 6 years, and has been a guest instructor for multiple OCFA Firefighter Academies. Captain Yin has extensive experience in serving on incident management teams, incident support teams, and California Task Force 5 is one of our plans team members. Captain Yin is a welcome addition to our team, and I know he will serve the division and serve the city and the staff members well. Over the month of April, there's a total of 364 incidents within the city limits of Stanton and 54 incidents within the unincorporated areas of Stanton. Of those total incidents, a total of 19 of them were fires. We had over 21 hazardous condition calls and over 378 EMS rescue calls. I'm happy to report that out of the all of those fires and significant incidents, there's no catastrophic fires or major damage causing any of businesses or city residences. May was a big month for the OCFA with promotions and movement of personnel. On May 6th, we said goodbye to our battalion chief, Chad Gremmel, who served on Battalion 8, who transferred down to Battalion 6 in the city of Dana Point. With the movement of Chief Gremmel, we welcomed our newest battalion chief, Mark Moore, who transferred from Battalion 2 in Yorba Linda and is now working at Battalion 8 on A shift. Additionally, OCFA graduated 35 of our newest firefighter paramedics out of Academy 54. This is a welcome addition. These are lateral paramedics are going to come in and help fill a lot of the vacant spots and positions we've been having trouble with our staffing. So they're a welcome addition, and we'll be seeing them hit the floor in the next couple weeks as they finish up their accreditation process. I'd also like to congratulate our six newest battalion chiefs who graduated the OCFA Battalion Chief Academy on May 6th. And I'd like to specifically recognize our former Division 7 Administrative Captain Greg Tooley, who served the city and the division very well, and in congratulating him on his new assignment as Battalion Chief at Battalion 10 in the city of Irvine. Currently, as far as out-of-county support, there's no large major wildfires outside of Orange County. Tonight, though, there is approximately 300-acre fire on Camp Pendleton, but it's well within the Camp Pendleton boundaries and serves no jurisdiction. This month, the OCFA and Battalion 7 Chief Gremmel will be attending a community education specialist specializing in focusing on safety messages on water safety and Ready, Set, Go in response to wildfire awareness and public access to supply kits. With water safety, we like to, we call the ABCs, we have the CPR, we also have the ABCs of water safety. A stands for supervision, adult supervision. Always have swim with a partner, never be alone. B stands for having appropriate barriers in place and guards and locks around the pool. B is the same. And C, we use for classes. We want to encourage people to learn how to swim, do swim instruction programs, and then also learn CPR so they can learn the radio community. Lastly, to put this up, this month on May 14th and 15th, we're going to be having our OCFA annual Girls Empowerment Camp at our ROTC headquarters. This is open up to boys and girls, and it's an opportunity for us to expose young men and women on the career of the fire service and kind of show them a little bit of the day in the life and the tools we use and allow them to actually participate with the actual fire equipment costs to kind of learn the job. It's an opportunity for us to outreach to our communities to find those future firefighters who are the North County Fire Department. Additionally, on May 20th, we're going to be having our Best and Bravest annual Best and Bravest ceremonies at ROTC. I'd like to recognize that several members from the Mobile Station 46 will be recognized that night with citation awards for acts that they've done above and beyond in the service of the community at hand. This concludes my report for April 22, and I'll be able to answer questions and comments.
Thank you, Chief. I do want to publicly thank Chief Cruz and Chief Doman for being here for Pyle School Day. The kids really enjoyed having both of you here, and I think it was a great exhibit, especially the Sheriff's Department bringing out all your troops. So thank you for that. A good time was had by one and all, so thank you for that. Okay, at this time, I'm going to recess this City Council meeting, going back into closed session.
Council recess back in closed session at 7:59 p.m.
Thank you, Mayor. Council, there's nothing to report out of closed session.
Closed. All right.
Everyone. Meeting is adjourned at 9:01 p.m.